Would you rather be an addict or have cancer? The idea of this video is to help see what we all have in common together in our struggles with life. This example of would you rather be an addict or have cancer will help show how we all struggle with the same kinds of problems and show some of the differences in how we treat people with certain problems versus others. So let's take a look. Would you rather be an addict or have cancer? An addict I'm defining very broadly. I'm including all types of addictions, things anywhere from alcohol, drugs, gambling, work, sex, OCD, you could even say is an addict of a form, and even things like codependency, where you're addicted to someone else or a certain part of life. These things I'm calling an addict to make it simple and to try and include everyone as much as possible. Let's take a look. What does being an addict and having cancer include in common? If you have cancer and if you have an addiction, it could be fatal. Even if with the addiction, it takes a bit many different forms of being fatal. So, for example, with an addiction, it might lead to suicide. Or it might lead to overdose. The general idea is it could be fatal. Cancer also could be fatal, not always fatal, and it depends on the type of cancer, just as it depends on the type of addiction. If you have an addiction to work, it could be fatal, but probably most of the time, it's not going to be fatal. If you have a substance abuse addiction, it has a much greater chance of being fatal. So the same as cancers. Different types of cancers tend to have different levels of mortality. So both cancer and addictions can be fatal. Both cancer and addictions also clearly present symptoms of being sick most of the time. If you have some kind of cancer, your body will tend to exhibit some form of being sick. An addict will also tend to demonstrate some form of being sick. With drinking, they may have hangovers. With substances, all kinds of sicknesses can happen. With work, things like stress. With playing video games, same thing. Things like stress, withdrawal, overeating. All kinds of symptoms can go along with any type and various types of cancer and addictions. And here's where it starts to get interesting. So you look at someone who has cancer. And you would usually say, oh, that person did not choose to have cancer. They got cancer, and there was nothing they could do about it. Well, you could argue maybe they could have eaten better. Maybe they could have not smoked for 30 years before getting lung cancer. So you could argue either way, but usually people would look at cancer as something, at least in the moment, you don't have any control over. Now, compare that with addiction. People who understand and have experienced addiction may look at it the same way as cancer. It seems to me most people, though, would look at an addiction as something you really do have control over. Oh, he doesn't need to drink like that. Why doesn't he just stop? Or why does he go out and buy all those drugs like that? Why does she keep having to have a man all the time? Can't she just be single? Why does that guy overeat so much? Can't he just go on a diet? Why do they work so much? Don't they see they're losing their family and they're getting stressed? They're gonna die of the stress from working. These are the kinds of things people say about addicts. And yet, if you look at cancer and addiction, both of them seem to have the same types of uncontrollable causes. You often can see a person and predict them being an addict way ahead of where it happens. You can often look at things that might have caused it, but when you look at them in the addiction and you can see them, they look quite helpless, the same as someone laying in bed with cancer might look helpless. I know I've experienced a lot of addiction in my life before, and it feels just as helpless as getting sick. I had a bad problem with online gambling in college, And when I was going to the store, going to Bilo to make wire transfers out of the country to put money on to my gambling account that earlier in the week I'd got suspended and said I was never doing again, and then I opened a new account and I'm putting money on, it felt just as helpless as being sick. It felt just as helpless as having the flu or having a cold because I did not want to gamble. I knew gambling was bad. It was hurting me. It often was boring. I always had to do something like drink along with it just to make it interesting. And yet, here I'd go. I'd make promises that I'd break. I didn't want to do that. I felt completely helpless. I felt like I had to gamble. And willpower just didn't work. Even though willpower worked in every other area of my life, I could use willpower in my relationships with people. I used willpower to get great grades in school. I used willpower to get in shape to do things like ROTC. I used willpower in every other area of my life, but for some reason, I couldn't control my gambling. If I started gambling, it was off to the races. I would go put a little money on poker, and all of a sudden, I'd be putting more on, I'd be going all night, and I would then do it again and again, even though I wanted to not do it anymore. And I experienced the same thing with drinking, although it took longer to really set in. But to be fair, I had all of the tendencies as an addict before I ever drank or before I ever gambled. When I honestly look back at myself, I see I had everything in place before I actually started doing the activities. Because ultimately, an addict is a mental and emotional disorder. So, if you look at it that way, you're just as helpless when you're in an addiction as you are struggling with something like cancer. And yet, look how we react differently. When you look at someone with cancer, would you look at them like they deserved it? Like, you idiot, you shouldn't have went and got cancer. You shouldn't have done this to yourself. Look, you got cancer again. Would you look at someone with cancer with disgust and look at them as if they chose to do that? As if that's what they wanted to do? And that's the thing. We treat people who have survived cancer with this reverence and respect. And you look at someone who's survived an addiction, and there's often a negative aspect to it. Like, ew, you're an alcoholic. I don't want you around. I don't want you working for me. That's great you haven't drank in a year, but I don't trust you won't relapse again. Would you treat someone with cancer the same way? Ooh, you got cancer a year ago. You don't want you working for me. You're just going to get cancer again and die on me. Don't want to do that. And yet, this is how much of our world works. We look at people with addictions as if they're some kind of weak person, that there's some kind of flaw in who they are. And would you look at a cancer survivor, or would you look at someone with cancer the same way? And the truth is, yes, sometimes, in some situations, people do look at someone with cancer and go, oh, you're weak, or you shouldn't have smoked all those cigarettes. You shouldn't have done this or that. And your parents had cancer, so of course you're going to have cancer too. Sometimes we do it that way. But the thing is, if we can see what we all have in common, if we can see how a person with cancer and a person with an addiction and a person with, say, depression, a person, say, with some other mental disease, if we can see all the similarities in all the ways in which we're sick, then we don't have to feel so different. We don't have to treat people so different. Have you experienced someone dying with cancer or some kind of illness before? My dad passed away with something similar to leukemia, and there was a lot of people feeling sad for him, and the family all came together and people surrounded and said lots of great things about my dad, and there was lots of coming together. Now, I've noticed when people and I hear talk about things like a family member committed suicide or a family member overdosed, Then it seems everyone runs away from that person. Instead of coming to help them, nearly everyone makes an exit, as if the person overdosing on the bathroom floor is so shameful, so disgusting, that even the people around that person are contaminated. I know it's brutal when you have parents who have children who've committed suicide. A friend that goes to a support group with me, her son just committed suicide by overdosing on drugs. Now, it may not have been on purpose, but he overdosed on drugs. And how do you think the people in her life are responding? You'd be surprised at people wanting to keep their distance. Can you imagine if a relative died of cancer? Would people want to keep their distance? No, they would come together. And yet when someone does something shameful, like commits a crime and then dies in a process like that, or is an addict and dies in their addiction, or takes their own life, then everyone wants to shamefully back away. Shamefully not get close to that person as if it's infectious. And I know when I was first trying to take care of myself and be sober, I wanted to stay away from people who were drunk and in the middle of their addiction. It was as if I thought it was contagious, that person being drunk around me would somehow get me drunk. That person who was sick was somehow going to contaminate me. Now imagine that with cancer. Would you be afraid someone with cancer around you was going to give you their cancer? The thing is, we make it harder on some people. We make it a lot harder and lonelier for some people. And it costs us a lot of lives. It costs us a lot of lives ruined. Because we're willing to help some people who are struggling. The person with cancer, we're willing to try and help them. Now, there's lots of examples of this going wrong, too. People with cancer not getting help, getting denied treatment, no health insurance. I get that. I'm saying this as a practical thing. That if we all help each other, and if we're all loving and understanding of the differences, for example, this person's an addict, this person is depressed, this person has cancer, this person just gets the flu all the time. If we're loving and understanding of the differences, and we focus on the similarities, oh, you're sick, you feel helpless, you don't feel like you're a good person, you feel a lot of shame. If we focus on those things, then there's huge potential to make a better world from there. There's huge potential to offer more love and understanding. As long as we judge how everyone is, and I'm trying to do this video without being judgmental, it's okay what we're doing right now. And there's the chance to do better if we want to. If we want to look at how we're all sick in the same ways, and have love and respect for the differences in the ways our sickness comes out. If we can all accept that, or even if just you can look with a little more love and understanding in your life as I'm trying to do in my life, then you have the opportunity to make a big difference in someone's life. When you see everyone running away from a person, there's a huge opportunity for you to step in and be of service to that person. Not necessarily to change them or to make them how you want, but just to be there and be a friend and love them. So thank you very much for watching this. I felt inspired to make this video, and I pray today that I've shared something that is worthwhile, that I've talked about something that's worth talking about, and that can be useful for you today in being loving and understanding in your life. And I pray that I will remember that the message of this video was to love people and not to judge people, and that I can take that to heart right now. So thank you for watching this, and I appreciate every minute you've spent watching or listening to all the things I've created for you.